Okay. Why don't you open with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Our lives are hid in Christ. The Bible tells us very clearly to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now there's a lot of noise about timelines. Everybody has different ideas about how things are going to go. Did you know really, not a whole bunch of us that are really absolutely positive, 100% sure how things are going to go? We have a lot of theories, we have a lot of ideas, and we have things that we place our hope in. But one thing I've noticed is most people keep their head buried in church, buried in what the Bible says, or worse yet, buried in what their pastor says. Well, we need to be hearing from God. We need to be paying attention to what the Bible says. But did you know we have this whole big world around us? And there's a lot of events going on. There's a lot of things happening. And we need to be paying attention to some of these things. When you see something, go look at it in the Bible. Did you know you can do that? You can really go look at things in the Bible and find out a little bit more about what's going on. One of the curious things that I just seen a picture of this the other day again, the Euphrates River is almost dry. The mighty Euphrates River is almost dry. And most people look at that and say, man, it must be a bad drought. Could be. But what does the Bible say about the Euphrates River? See, one thing we need to understand, knowing that our timelines have been manipulated, knowing that our history has been manipulated, do you know our timelines have been manipulated? You know, one day we're on one calendar, then all of a sudden the Pope decides, we don't like that calendar. We was on a 13-month calendar for a long time. And then all of a sudden we're on a 12-month calendar with the leap year. Why would they do that? See, we were connected to what was going on with the sun, moon, and stars, not worshiping them. But God did say to use those to keep track of times and seasons. Then all of a sudden, now we got disconnected from that. We don't really know where we are in the whole scheme of things, do we? Some eschatologists are convinced they know. And then another group said, no, we're over here. And then another group say, we're over here. But the number one thing is, it got us disconnected from our world around us. Another thing that's happened is our history has been manipulated. I try to tell people this all the time. Not everything that you've been told is the truth. Even in school, even in the university, not everything you get told is the truth. Can we agree on that? Not everything that you get told in church is the truth. The guy that ordained me went to a pastor's conference. And at the end of his service, he did an altar call. And about 30 pastors came down and got born again. Can you see why there's so much confusion in the church? Not only in the world, but in the church. If they don't understand the very basics of why we're in church, then why wouldn't they be confused? Our history has been manipulated. We've been told one thing when it's really another. See, the devil is not going to ever tell you how he got his stronghold. See, just like what's going on in Mexico right now, everybody has been focused on the fact that it's a poverty-stricken nation and that there's drug runners all over, and they're blaming the cartels, and the cartels are certainly part of it, but the real catalyst behind them has been in our own backyard. Follow the money. It doesn't stop with the cartels. It funnels right into Washington, D.C. See, our history, what we've been told, is not always the truth. You know, we had a civil war, and everybody says it was over slavery. You know, that's not necessarily the truth. You want to know the basics of the South? There were a bunch of Bible-believing Christians down here, and they thought that these people in the North were coming up with some crazy ideas about Christianity. And they didn't want that to infiltrate into the South. They didn't want that. That's just one of the things. Not everything we've been told is the truth. Even our Bibles have been manipulated. One of the questions I had early on was, who decided what books were supposed to be in the Bible? And everybody said, oh, these guys were led by the Holy Spirit. So I started studying these guys, and I thought, oh, I don't know about all that. There's a lot of stuff that has been kept from us, but see, the Bible also tells us that in the end times, all will be revealed. And in 1945, they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, and now we're finding out more and more and more information about all this stuff, finding out about these different books. And they talk about some of these books in the Bible. Just understand that we don't have all the information. We don't know everything. But our lives are hid in Christ. Amen? Regardless of how the dice roll out, we win. Regardless of how it goes, even if it doesn't go down the way you think it's supposed to go down, we win. Amen? Now, you talk to a lot of different people, and there's a lot of different timelines that they're on, a lot of different beliefs. Don't get all lost in the bushes on this. Now, on around us, compare it to the Bible. What does the Bible say? Well, in Revelation chapter 16, verse 12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. See, the bowls of judgment are poured out after the rapture. Now, if that doesn't make you think, The bowls of wrath, the bowls of judgment are poured out after the rapture. See, the bowls of judgment are poured out before Satan's little season. Satan's little season comes after the rapture. The bowls of judgment are the final events of God's wrath during the great tribulation immediately preceding Christ's second coming. See, Satan's little season, which is talked about in Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Okay. There's one camp that says we're getting ready to be raptured out of here. Praise God. There's one camp that says we're at the end of Satan's little season. Praise God. Regardless of where we are, praise God. You win regardless of where you are. You win. You know, if you get raptured out of here, how bad could that be? That wouldn't be too bad, would it? And then we come back for a millennial reign. If the millennial reign already happened, and we're at the end of Satan's little season, the fire consumes the enemies of God, and guess what we do? We enter into the new heaven and the new earth. How bad could that be? Your lives are hid in Christ. Period. The Bible tells us to believe on Him. Amen. Did you know we don't really know everything? And it doesn't matter how many people you get to look at eschatology and timelines. You could have 10 people look at these timelines and eschatology, and they're going to come up with 10 different ideas. You know, I say this because I end up talking to a lot of different people, just and they talk about the gloom, despair, and agony on me. You know, that's their attitude. We're done. We're toast. I said, I thought you was a believer in Christ. Well, I do. And they said, why are you toast? I said, well, look what's going on around us. I said, I know. But are you okay? You know, Alcoholics Anonymous has a prayer that they say before every meeting. Say, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The church could learn a lot from that prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. If you can't change it, then stop turning your hair gray, worrying about it. You know, there's a lot of people that are just worried day and night and mad all the time about stuff that they can't change. And then there's this other part. This is a Christian's responsibility. Grant me the courage to change the things I can. Now this is where the church ends up sitting in the pew and not doing anything. See, there are some things that the church can change. But they don't have the courage to step out and do it. It's okay to shout hallelujah in church and praise God every time that door swings open. But when it's time to go out there and change something, can't we have an ice cream social? I don't want to go down to the courthouse and tell them that they're being idiots. I'll look foolish. Well, I do go down there and tell them that they're being idiots when they are. But I can't really do much about what's going on in Austin. We can pray about what's going on in Austin, but I'm really not set up to drive back and forth to Austin. There are some people that are. There are some people that are set up to deal with Washington. I'm not one of those. But I can take care of what I can take care of right here. God grant me the serenity. God grant me the wisdom to know the difference. If there's something you can change, change it. If there's something you can't change, stop worrying and fretting about it. Pray about it. But you can't do it. What are you going to do about Washington? Pray about Washington and vote every time the polls open. See, we got to get things in order here. See, Satan's little season happens much later than Christ's second coming. So either we're waiting on Christ, or the millennial reign already happened and we're in Satan's little season. Regardless of which timeline you're on, you win if you're in Christ Jesus. See, Satan's little season happens later. It is the final brief period of deception that occurs after the 1,000 years reign of the millennium. The deception is one of the things that people cling to. How can you imagine the world being any more deceived than it is right now? I mean, there is so much deception. Even like when you go to vote, I mean, think about this. When you go to vote and you're looking at something that they want you to vote on and try to read through that mess that these lawyers put together, and it's like, you almost need an interpreter. Because sometimes it sounds like you should vote yes when you should vote no, and sometimes it sounds like you should vote no when you should vote yes. They do that on purpose. They want people confused. They've convinced us that the pharmacies are a good people, the pharmakia. You ever notice there's two snakes going up a pole? People really, really, really need to wake up and pay attention. But regardless of what you're seeing and what you're hearing, make sure that what you're believing is the important stuff. Like Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, our lives are hidden in Christ. You've already done all the dying you're going to do. Did you know that? You're not going to die again. You're going to change addresses. Your body wear out, you change addresses. But you're not dying. Almost every fear, well, no, every single fear that the world has identified is really rooted in the fear of death. Every single fear is rooted in the fear of death. And see, death, man was not created to die. Did you know that? We weren't created to die. God put Adam and Eve in that garden. There was no mention of death until he said, if you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. Now here's the important thing about being scripturally sound and not adding to it or taking from it. Satan came up to Eve and said, has God said thou shalt surely die? She said, he said, we shall not even touch the fruit of that tree. She added too. God told Adam and Eve to take care of that garden. Said, don't eat of that fruit. But she added to it, said, you shouldn't even touch it. No, he said, take care of it. Take care of that garden. That was their job. But she added to it and got confused and got trouble. It kind of reminds me of something I read the other day. Did you know snakes have legs? Serious. Google it. The little hooks on our bodies that really shouldn't be there. I kind of really think that Satan walked up to Eve. And then after that, God cursed him and said, from this day forward, you shall eat of the dust of the earth. And snakes started crawling. Can't prove it, but there's a lot of stuff we don't know about. You know, when the Ethiopians say there's really 133 books in the Bible, I don't know. Could be. Would it hurt anybody to go read some of those books that they say aren't supposed to be in the Bible? Might learn something. Who decided what books should be in the Bible? See, we don't ask ourselves enough questions. Revelation chapter 9, verse 16. See, I asked a lot of these questions early on, and man, you should have seen some of the hardcores get mad at me. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. That's 200 million man force. See, this is what the army is supposed to, when the Euphrates River gets dry, the kings of the east are supposed to be able to cross. That's this 200 million man army that's supposed to be crossing. The river's almost dry. See, that 200 million man force, most common end time prophecy interpretations today view them as a massive coalition of nations from the east, especially the far east, gathering for the final conflict, specifically for the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, there's a lot of people that hate Jerusalem. We've been instructed to pray for Jerusalem, pray for peace in Jerusalem. Did you know there's a difference between Israel and Jerusalem? A lot of people say pray for Israel. The Bible says pray for Jerusalem. Now, at the end of Satan's little season, Gog and Magog gather together for the final battle. where they are consumed by fire, and Satan is cast into the lake of fire, and the saints who have been ruling with Christ for 1,000 years enter into the new heaven and the new earth. So whether we get raptured out of here or whether we enter into the new heaven and the new earth, we win. So we take comfort in this. In Christ Jesus, we win. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. See, we're not to be tormented by the end times regardless of how we see it going down. We're supposed to comfort one another. Are you in Christ Jesus? Yeah, you're good to go. Now, I had a guy the other day come up to me and he was really worried. He really, really wanted to talk to me. And he came up to me and he said, you guys never shut down during COVID. And I said, no. And he said, what do you think is going to happen? I told him some of the things that I think are going to happen. And I said, but you're in Christ Jesus. And he said, no, I don't believe in none of that. And I said, you need to start. He said, no. He said, I just want to know what's going on. I said, well, for those in Christ Jesus, it's going to be okay. But those that aren't, not so much. Some people are absolutely convinced that they're not going to have any of that Jesus stuff. No matter how you look at the timeline, we win. We're either about to be raptured or we're going to the new heaven. See, there's arguments to the end of the... people will be arguing about this forever. Are you pre-trib, post-trib, or mid-trib? See, I don't care. I'm in Christ Jesus. Whichever one he chooses, I'm good to go. Are we about ready to get raptured out here? Are we about ready to go into the new whatever? I don't care. My life is hid in Christ Jesus. One lady got mad at me the other day. She said, every time somebody talks about being in Christ Jesus, it's just bull. I said, no. This is a woman that professes to be a Christian. She said, that's all you think. You're going to be okay because you're in Christ Jesus. I am okay because I'm in Christ Jesus. Regardless of what happens. Regardless of what timeline you pick, pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, Satan's little season, rapture, whatever you want, you're in Christ Jesus. You're fine. Now, I can't find anything in the Bible that tells us that Christians are going to miss out on tribulation. I just can't find out. Even Jesus said, in this world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. There's that Jesus making us a winner again. We have problems, but guess what? Jesus. Have challenges, but guess what? Jesus. There is stern warning about not taking the mark of the beast. There is a stern warning about not bowing your knee. See, Christians in America basically lived a pretty cushy life. You know, compared to like the martyrs, where these guys know that their next step, they may get their head chopped off for what they believe. And how about all of a sudden there's 40 Christians getting killed in that church in Somalia? Was it Somalia? No, it was Sudan. Now, one of those over there, the Muslim wiped out 40 Christians. They always pick these numbers, 40. See, there's a lot of noise in our world. TV, Facebook, internet, radio, people, all over there's noise. And everybody's sure they got it all figured out. I got news for them, nobody has it all figured out. But there is one thing that is an anchor for our soul. Jesus is Lord. The Bible tells us to believe on Him. Our lives are in Christ Jesus. We've already done all the dying that we're going to do. If our bodies get expired today, we change addresses. And guess what? You're in the presence of the Lord. How bad can that be? Regardless of what direction the wind blows, our lives are hid in Christ Jesus. How bad can that be? See, that's good news. We're in Christ Jesus. We win. I don't care how you flip the coin, we win. Amen? Amen. Well, Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you for everything you do for us. And Father, we thank you that you made it easy for us to get into Christ Jesus. Your word says that if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. For it is with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Now, I'm convinced that everybody in here is born again, but there's people watching on Facebook. They watch these videos all the time. So I'm going to ask everybody to just bow their head and close their eyes. We bow our head out of reverence to God, and we close our eyes out of respect to our neighbor, as this is strictly between God and man. If you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, say this prayer out of your heart so your ears can hear it. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that God raised you back to life. This day, I confess you to be my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, Father, we thank you for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for the many, many blessings that you've bestowed upon us. In fact, your word says that you've freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank you for these. And because of the blood of Jesus, and we've been put into right standing with you, we qualify for your blessings because of what Jesus did. That's that covenant. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have coffee and snacks back here, and everybody can fellowship. Come on back.